Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello listeners, and welcome to episode 49 of Let's Talk About Tests Baby, which means I've been doing this for almost a year. In fact, next Saturday, the 14th of May, marks the 1 year anniversary of the first episode of this podcast. And it is with this milestone over the horizon, I come bearing an announcement, and that is that Let's Talk About Tests Baby is moving from a weekly to a fortnightly podcast, so that means there'll be an episode once every 2 weeks. This is because I have a lot of plans, and I need a bit more time to manoeuvre them. It also is because I want to go a bit more in-depth, I want to level up, if you like, and a week isn't enough to formulate right as in-depth as I'd like and produce an episode, it's just not. So once every 2 weeks I think will give me that bit more space in which to produce better episodes going forward, because I feel that I need to just, yeah, level up, go a bit deeper, go a bit more complex. So I need a bit more space and time. And this also will probably do wonders for the long-term, like, longevity of the podcast, because I would never give you up, listeners, but I need a bit of space. So this is what we're getting. Okay, so on to this week's episode, which is called Leading the Witness. And that's because I want to talk about trying to get what people actually really want. This episode is going to be mostly about agency life, because I work in agency, I pretty much always have, and it's the environment that I know. And trying to get functional requirements out of people, because that's quite hard. I'm having issues with my clients not visualising fully what they want from a system until we show them something and go, oh, actually, we want also this, this, and this. And these requirements, none of us have considered these requirements before, and now they're coming to the fore as we're building and we're having to incorporate these in. And broadly, clients can be split into two types of people. They're the people who know what they want, or the people that don't know what they want. I mean, everyone knows what they want, but they don't know that they know, if that makes sense. Basically, people are bad at telling you what they actually want. They'll tell you what they think they want, or they'll tell you what they think they need, but when it comes to it, chances are trying to go, oh, actually, I've missed this out, or I need this. And it's not because they're stupid, or because they're not techie, or because any sort of disparaging reasons like that. If anything, it's because they know their business and processes too well. And they are so used to their processes working the way they do that translating that into a new system is quite difficult. Like, how well do you know your commute to work, or how to cook your favourite meal, or the layout of your phone screen or your desktop? The things you use all the time, you know you're doing well enough, you're not even going to think about every little step just because you know what you're doing. You might not even realise you're doing something slightly or not so slightly inefficiently because that's just how you do it. Or you may realise, but there's a reason for it. Like, I will occasionally walk the longer way home because it is prettier and there's more chance of seeing dogs being walked because I go through a park, for example. Or, to put it another way, changing computers, swapping things from an old computer onto a new computer. While I know broadly what programs I want on this new computer, I won't know everything I need because I won't remember everything I need. And sometimes after initial setup, a week down the line, a couple of days, you'll go, oh, actually, I need this to make my process of doing this work. And you just haven't thought about everything in that process, so you've not downloaded everything. I recently got a new phone. I got a new phone on Wednesday, a replacement phone, and I'm still in the process of going, oh, actually, I need this app, and I need this app. And I don't need them, but for the stuff I do, with my phone, I do need them. So it's just going to put downloading them as I realise that I need them. And it's always the little things that aren't immediately obvious that are going to be deal breakers. They're going to be integral to the system. And it's that stuff. It's the stuff that's not, say, like the equivalent of getting your browser of choice set up or adding pasta to the lasagna. It's the little bits and pieces, like setting up the shortcuts that you use, if you use keyboard shortcuts, or make sure you've got the text editor of choice in, or adding seasoning to said lasagna. That stuff that you can technically get away with without not having them, but it makes everything smoother, and if you do have them, And that means that, especially if you're introducing a new system to people, they're going to find it a little bit harder to interact with. They're going to be a little less likely to engage with the system. And so it's going to make everyone harder to integrate the new system into the process. And of course, ideally, you want to figure those things out before you start building them, because that's the easiest way of making sure that you've got them integrated correctly. But obviously, this is agile and requirements will change and you have to be able to incorporate them at any point. But before that, before you can incorporate them, you've got to get them out. People are really good at telling you what they don't want, more so than what they do want. They can tell you a list of things that you want, but if you go, okay, do you also want this feature? They'll say yes or no. There gets a point in a discussion, a workshop with a client. I've had pretty much every workshop I've done, I've had this point where I can kind of tell the client doesn't understand the bit I'm having issues with, doesn't understand the point I'm trying to get to. And it could be that I'm not explaining myself well. It could be that I'm misunderstanding a step in the system. It could be that it's after lunch and everyone's having a food baby and it's tiring and they want to just for me to not talk anymore and for them to have a beer. We've all been there. And I can tell that point. And suddenly, if instead of trying to ask questions to get to the point I want, I say, right, I assume that this and this and this is going to happen. Now, I know that's wrong because I can tell from the way they're talking that it doesn't feel right. But if I say to them, this is the journey I'm assuming you're taking, including the bit that I'm pretty sure is wrong, they'll tell me. They don't necessarily go, no, wait, no, you're wrong. It needs to be this, 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 and then this, and then, oh, shit, actually, go back a step because I've missed a step here. And it's just a way of re-engaging them because they'll jump up and go, no, you're wrong. Also, this is really great for when the client that we're talking to isn't very techie and doesn't really understand the system that we're working with. Like if we're moving them to Magento from another system or moving them to Drupal from another system, and they don't really understand, they've come to us and you can tell they're intimidated by the tech side of it. If we can show them that, yeah, we're the tech experts, but they're the experts in their business, and we are just as much in the dark about their terminology than they are about our terminology, it kind of brings us together. It kind of puts us on a, not quite an equal footing, but you can see there's some equality between us. So I can say to them, right, we can translate it into here, but we need your help because you need to, you're the experts in your system. And that I've seen that really open up people who have been quite intimidated because they've got no clue how technology works. Or they have a clue about technology works, but they have no idea about the effort that goes into it. You know, the people go, can you just, no, we can't just, okay. So I do find this really useful in that kind of environment as well. Underneath all this is making sure that you're not leading the witness. So leading the witness is when you say, instead of saying, so what happened on the night in question, you say, why were you at this place on the night in question? You've put in words into that, into the witness's mouth already. And it's the same kind of thing here. If I say to someone, right, okay, so when you do this, then this, then this, that's a different kind of question to when you do step A, then what happens? Does this happen or this happen or this happen? Because given them options, one of them's going to be right or they're all going to be wrong. It's a lot different from saying, how about this? Because they might say, that's wrong, but they might not be able to tell me what's right. Whereas if I've kind of guide them by saying, well, it could be this, could be this, could be this, I'm engaging them because they know it's wrong, but I'm also guiding them to tell me what precisely is wrong and what precisely is right instead. And so there's a balance that you have to kind of, you have to kind of walk that line, because if you just give them an open question, they might freeze and go, I don't know, because I've never thought about it in this way before. But you don't want to say, right, you'll get this. And they'll go, that sounds okay, without really engaging with the idea and thinking about, does it actually meet their needs? Is this actually how they envision it? And it's always going to come to the point where you put something in front of them and they go, that's not what I wanted, actually, I'm thinking this. And that's just the nature of it, because as they start to think about the system more, even through the build process, we'll come to them with questions and go, right, we've put this story in the backlog because it looks like it makes sense. Do you want this story or do you want the other stories that are already there? And that kind of asking them to prioritise and think about how they're engaging with the system will bring up new functionality, functional requirements. It will. That is how, like, this kind of sprint-based development rolls. But the actual core functionalities, we aim to get them upfront earlier, which means we do a lot of work upfront, and it's a lot of this trying to interact with the client, trying to read them and make sure that they're engaging properly and actually telling you what they want, or at least what they don't want, so you can throw more ideas at them. And sometimes it's difficult because sometimes people come to you with a spec and go, right, do that. And it's like, well, we need more back and forth with you, and that shocks them a bit. But we do try to make it as easy as possible by doing planning away from them in a way. We'll do all our planning and come up with a very sort of specific list of questions, and those questions will branch off and cover all the bases, but at least we kind of guide them without leading them, if that makes sense. And I think those are the projects that go smoothest, are the ones where we've done the groundwork first, and where there's that understanding of where the tech experts will be building the site, but they need to, they're the experts on their side. Especially, we do a lot of government projects at our agency, and a lot of the processes there we can't change, and they don't, well, they make sense, but they might be very convoluted, or they're very rigid, and they may not make sense from, say, a Drupal point of view, but we have to make Drupal fit those processes, because the processes make sense from an institutional point of view, and you have to make that fit, because you can't affect change. You can't turn around and go, right, you need to change the entire structure of your institution to fit this. You've got to make it fit the needs. And sometimes pulling those needs out, especially if they are so rigid, can be quite time consuming. But at the end of the day, they get a site that meets their needs, can follow their processes, and that users want to engage with, because it's got the stuff that makes their life easy in it. And that's most important at the end of the day. I think I've spoken before in a very early episode about the difference between right and correct. What we implement may not be the most correct way of doing something, but it is right for the client, and that's more important than being correct. And as an aside, I think being right instead of correct is one of my favourite things. I think I've used this phrase more than any other phrase in the podcast, because it's one of my favourite things. It's something I keep reminding myself every time I come across a slightly non-conventional requirement, or something that doesn't quite, like something that's a bit awkward to test or doesn't quite work as I'd like it to, but I know it's right for the client. I have to remind myself that being correct isn't important. Being right is important. And as a tester, I'm not here necessarily to say, right, this is incorrect. I'm here to make sure and help the team that I'm working with build something that is right for the client, regardless of how correct it happens to be. And I'm going to wrap this up here. So the next episode will be on the 19th of May. If you want to get in touch with the show between now and then, the website is letstalkabouttests.xyz. You can email letstalkabouttests@gmail.com. I am Let's Talk Tests on Twitter. I am Let's Talk About Tests on Skype. So many ways you can contact me if you wish to. And either way, I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye. Thank you.